you're turning your Bibles there. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. You know, we had the grandkids over, and they come over often, and we were playing hide and seek out back. And it's kind of funny, you know, in hide and seek, sometimes when you're playing with kids, it's like, okay, count down, and they want you to count down from 100. Well, hopefully they don't know all those big numbers. Next thing you know, you're 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready or not, here I come. And sometimes they're just standing there like, well, I didn't want to play, so I didn't hide. And I thought, oh, come on, man. And then other times, you know, they're doing this and they're going, and you can hear them. You may not be able to see them, but you can hear them the whole way, you know, giggling as you go in the bedroom. Are they in the bathroom? Are they over in the bed, beside the bed, under the bed, in the closet? But their noise makes them easy to find. And I think, oh, man, how great is that? And then sometimes you just catch them trying to change hiding places. Oh, I'm running from the bed. Oh, you came in while I was running to the closet. And I thought, good grief, it's a little hilarious when they're trying to do that. They didn't like their first spot, and they run to the second spot. But these last two things, I crack up when I see these. You weren't loud enough. I didn't hear you coming. I didn't hear you say, ready or not, here I come. Well, I don't know how loud you want it to be, but I said it, and I said it loud. And other times it's, you should have given me more time. Well, counting backwards from 100 was a lot of time to find hiding places in the house or outside when you play outside. But I thought, man, it's just a good time when you play with the kids or grandkids or whatever. But it's funny to hear their excuses. Amen? Oh, yeah, it's fun. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, today to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 44 is where we'll start today. Man, has anyone overcome anything in the last week or the last month or the last year? Anybody overcome anything? Raise your hand if you have. Man, overcomers, I love that. He gives us an opportunity to overcome and to be different and be better. So with that in mind, let's do that one more time. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice because we are overcomers. And we had opportunity to overcome. Amen? Man, I saw a guy in front of a judge, and he was on a 5-year probation. And the judge said, well, how have you done? If we send you over for a drug analysis, how are you going to do? He said, I'm clean. Okay, well, let's do this. Send him for that. Found out, how did he do on probation? He did great. She said, okay, tell me about yourself. What have you done? He said, can I read a letter? And he pulls out a letter and starts reading it. And he said, I found Jesus, and you gave me the chance to do that. And I found a church that accepted me for who and what I was, but allowed me to grow closer to God. And he gave God all the glory for that. And I thought, man, he is a God of second chances. He said, I went to school. He said, I got my degree or whatever it was, associate's degree in the automotive field. I worked at a couple different automotive places so I could learn different techniques. He said, but now I'm working for this dealership. I'm employed full time. And she said, congratulations. I hear people say, I'm going to do this, and they don't all the time. And she said, to see a young man that has overcome where he was, and he went back and apologized to his victims of his crimes. And I thought, he is a God of second chances. And he allows us and gives us opportunity to overcome. So I love reading that. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as of the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40 says, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore. You hear that, church? Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. And I like that the first part in verse 36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. But what I just read said, the coming of man, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You see, we don't know when he's coming, but he may come sooner than we expect. When we look at this, we have to prepare ourselves. He has given us another day. He has given us an opportunity, just as the judge did with that young man in court. He has given us another day, another opportunity to succeed and to be successful and to overcome and to give him glory and honor. And I love that. We have opportunity to make things better today than they were yesterday. We have opportunity to make ourselves better today than we did yesterday. Today's message is ready or not. Ready or not. He is coming. And he tells us. Look at what I just read about hide and seek with the little kids. And I did that for a reason. What defenses do we use? God, you caught me transitioning from who I was to who I'm going to be. And I was in the middle of that. And you caught me in the middle of it. And other times we just stand boldly in our sin. I don't feel like playing, God. You caught me. Okay, good. And we don't even have a defense. I'm just standing out here. Okay, you caught me. Okay, game's over. Good. I did my thing. But I like the other ones that I read. I'm hiding from you, God, but I'm making so much noise that you found me out. But I was trying to hide from you. God, you weren't loud enough. I didn't hear you coming. God, you came in an hour, which I did not expect. And you came sooner than I thought, and I wasn't ready. I needed more time. When Cindy's biological father was dying of cancer, and he had things to do and projects, and he said, man, I thought I'd have more time. I thought I'd have more time. God doesn't let us live long. Everybody. Some are taken at birth. Some are taken hours and days later and weeks later and months and a few years. Many of us know that all too well. I thought I'd have more time. And you see, I don't want us to be caught in the game of hide and seek. And Jesus says, ready or not, here I come. I didn't hear you coming. I thought I'd have more time. Can you start over and count again? Can you give me just a little more time? That's fine in the movies. It shows them up in heaven. And if you can rectify this, boom, I'll put you back alive. That doesn't happen in real life. You see, he says, ready or not, here I come. In the day and the hour you do not know and you do not expect. And I thought, man, nobody knows. But of that day and hour, no one knows. What does it say? Not even the angels of heaven. They don't even know. The Father in heaven is bringing guests, and the angels don't even know to prepare for them because the Father hasn't told them yet. You know, it cracks me up when criminals get caught in things. And they never want to accept responsibility. It wasn't my fault. That was entrapment. You put a policeman with a radar gun and they entrapped me speeding. No, you sped. They entrapped me and enticed me and pulled me into this thing I wouldn't normally do. That's criminal activity. We're the same way, but we can't stand before the Father, our judge, and claim entrapment. Lord, you know those are my weaknesses. And yet you did this, and you put this in front of me, and you put me with these people, and you allowed me to go into these places and do these things and see these things. Good grief. Wednesday night in Bible studies, we started starting point. I confessed a weakness of mine as I went looking for a snack at Dollar General. I'll be there and back. I'm at work next door doing inventory. I said, I'll be back. I'm going to get a snack. 15 minutes later, I showed back up. They said, we thought you got lost. I said, I did. I walked in and said, I'm looking for something healthy, but I don't know. And she showed me healthy stuff. I got anything else? Showed me it. In the end, I went over and was going to check out, grabbed a bag of Funyuns and grabbed a bag of Doritos, and I was done. I said, I'm too weak. God, that was entrapment. You made me walk down an aisle with all this food to go to the checkout line at Dollar General. No, it wasn't. I'm just a weak individual that loves my little snacks, even in the midst of trying to get and be healthier. But we stand before God all the time. God, that was entrapment. People have lost families and jobs and businesses that they ran and own because of their weaknesses. Oh, Lord, we've got to get stronger. You see, the Son of Man is coming. And He's coming at a time that we don't know and we don't expect. Let me look at my younger people, and young and younger. No offense to the rest of you that I'm just eyeballing past. Young people think all the time, I got all the time in the world. Good grief, I'm just in my teens or 20s or 30s, even 40s. He's coming at a time that you don't expect, and you have to be ready. Well, I'm going to heaven. I accepted Jesus. Man, that's all I'm worried about. Whew. It is good enough. We can't have a good enough spiritual mentality in our faith walk, can we? It is not good enough in our faith walk to say, it's good enough, I'm going to heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whew, that's good enough. So when you made that decision, it really didn't mean anything to you. Because you just said, it's good enough I did that, but I'm not going to live the way I should. And I'm not going to live the way that He calls me to live. And as I just confessed, it's tough. We struggle. But we can't claim entrapment. And here's why. I told you about it. Now listen, we can't all say, man, my salvation is good and my spiritual walk is good. How come? Well, because I sat and listened to a couple of Pastor Eric and Adam's messages. And I get that every week. Church, that's not going to do it. 6 days a week, I don't eat a bag of Funyuns and Doritos. But one day, that's just not going to do it. If I want to get and be somewhere else. We want to argue our mistakes. I sped, but it's not my fault. God, can you get me off on a technicality? Because it says you're supposed to have grace and mercy on me. So, yeah, but it also says you're not supposed to just go do whatever you want because He has grace and mercy on us. God, you weren't loud enough for me to hear you coming. You didn't send any warning signs. Two men were in the field. One will be taken up, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. One man, my father, will be taken in his 50s. One woman, my mother, is still alive at 93. And God does what He does.
And he doesn't have to explain it to us. And he doesn't have to get our permission to do it. But the question is, are we going to overcome when we face those things? Many of you raised your hands. Man, I've overcome something in the last week, the last month, the last year. You got an overcomer sitting right back there. It's Jan Caldwell. It's her birthday today, by the way. She is turning 21 today, and happy for that. Yeah. Jan's an overcomer. Many of you are overcomers through things that you've been through. We have to accept responsibility for living our life according to our will and according to the flesh. We have to accept responsibility for those choices. Not saying, oh man, it was entrapment. Oh my gosh, Lord, why did you put me in that situation? His word says, I'll always give you a way out also. You just have to choose it. Lord, I know I'm weak in this area, and yet you tempted me in this area. Yes, but I always give you a way out. God, that was entrapment. Come on, man. No, that's weakness and lack of self-control. You know that self-control, part of the fruit of the Spirit. And yet we struggle with that. God, you're right. I was weak. I didn't have self-control. And I just stood there and said, okay, 1, 2, 3, red or not, here I come. You got me, okay. And accept it. But then we've got to find out, how will I be different? In the beginning of Matthew chapter 24, we start in verse 36. But in the beginning, he talks about predicting the destruction of the temple, the signs of the times of the end of the ages, the great tribulation. And I wasn't going to read this, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. He talks about in verse 13. Let me go to verse 9. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Great place to start, Adam. Thank you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Good Lord, we're already offended and we haven't even got to this part. Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now it goes on in verse 15, and it says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, it says. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen or not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, verse 23, pay close attention here. It says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. Oh, so false preachers and prophets will do great signs and wonders, and that will deceive many. Verse 25 says, see, I have told you beforehand, ready or not, here I come. I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if you say, If they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. I thought, man, he's giving us warning. Pastor Eric, Pastor Adam, Pastor so-and-so on TV, Pastor so-and-so on the radio, Pastor so-and-so from this church or this group or that group. Man, they should have told us. They should have given us more information. Guys, it's right here. Open it up yourselves. Look and study and read and understand what he's saying. They try to deceive you. It says, even if possible, even the elect. But he says, see, I have told you beforehand. I am coming. But man, we say, okay, God, you're coming. I'm not in a place where I should be. I should be in a different place. I should be in a better place. I should be in a better place and position in my faith walk. In my daily life, in my daily disciplines. Flip over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. If we're not where we're supposed to be, then we need to create a plan. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is say, I need to create a plan, but I don't know where the starting place is. Well, start with, where do you want to be? Okay, boom, you can write that down. I want to be here. Hard to get there if you don't know where you are. So then comes the tough part. Oh, I've got to find out where I am. And I've got to be honest with myself. How many times you've been running late for something and say, how close are you? Are you almost here? I'm almost there. Be there in 5 minutes. You know doggone good and well you're 10 to 15 minutes out. Be there in 5 minutes. And then you do this. Try and drive a little faster. Better hurry. I know I'm 10 to 15 minutes away. I told them 5 minutes. And then they call 8 minutes from them and say, where are you? You said you were almost here 5 minutes ago or 8 minutes ago. He said, you're 5 minutes away. I know, I'm sorry, man. It's traffic. You're zooming down the highway with nobody around you. It happens. It happens. We have a hard time being honest and saying, here's where we're at. Now, this is going to be an even harder thing. You may have to look to a spouse, a loved one, a family member, or a trusted friend and say, I need you to tell me where I'm at. You're 15 minutes out. No, I'm not that far out. You can't do that. I mean, if you're asking, you got to understand and receive it. Now, if they have no idea where you're at, you know, then that's different. But you have to know where you're at in order to get where you want to be. Oh, better yet, if you want to get to where God wants you to be. Where do you want to be? I want to be here. Great. Now, where does God want you to be? Oh, that's a different thing. And again, those are reality checks, church, that we have to ask ourselves. We want a faith that sticks in 26. We have to be different. We have to operate differently in our life, in here, wherever we are, out there where no one's around. Because ready or not, he's coming. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is talking in the first couple chapters about the seven churches. And in chapter 3, verse 1, let's just start with the dead church. We're not going to read them all. I'm just going to read this to you. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he who has seen, who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, But you are dead. Again, Adam, great place to start. Thank you. I know you have a name, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. That means we have some work to do. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Church, repentance is not necessarily what a lot of us think. A lot of us think, I'm just asking God to forgive me. That's just asking God to forgive you. Repentance is to understand where you're at and say, God, I don't want any part of this. God, I want to turn from this and I want to be as far away from this as I can be. And I repent of this and I'm walking away and I'm staying away. Remember, therefore, how you received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Listen to this, verse 5. He who overcomes. Church, we have to celebrate our overcoming more than we do. And I apologize if I don't do that. As your pastor, Eric, as your pastor, if we don't do that, if I don't do that. But we have to celebrate our overcoming because they are big deals. I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's the dead church. He says, but he who overcomes. Okay, we have hope. We have opportunity now. As our band comes forward to close, I want to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Now in comparison, the faithful church. And it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And I love this. And it says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. I've set before you an open door. This isn't one you need to knock at. He says, I've set before you an open door, and nobody shuts it. And no one opens it either. But I have done that. I know your works. I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it. I love that. For you have a little strength. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour and trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Church, hold fast for what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. Church, he says in verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. Stand and worship with us.